that, they were like, oh, well, it looks like in the business general zone, you'll need a conditional use permit to run a bar or a tavern.
Does a closer look at the borough code mean Skagway bars need to have more permits to be in compliance? And an update on regional basketball. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Thousands of Canadian trucking companies violated U.S. road safety rules in the last 2 years, according to new data from the U.S. Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. The report shows that 4,800 carriers based in Canada violated key parts of the hours of service and logbook rules in 2009 and 2010, failing to keep proper records and driving longer than officials in the states deem safe. The research monitored trucking outfits from Nova Scotia to the Yukon Territory, excluding only Newfoundland and Labrador. Canada and the U.S. have different trucking regulations and enforcement procedures, but a Canadian Trucking Alliance spokesperson says that tens of thousands of companies cross the border every year, and that trucking is one of the few industries that shares its workplace with the public. They also insisted that many logbook violations seem to be minor and clerical in nature and have no bearing on fatigue. Still, the U.S. is making moves to tighten trucking regulations and crack down on violations to make roads safer. In January, the U.S. Federal Trucking Safety Agency proposed a new rule that would require all interstate commercial truck and bus companies that are currently required to use logbooks to install electronic onboard recorders to monitor driving hours. Although the Canadian Trucking Alliance says some Canadian trucking companies that operate in the U.S. do observe U.S. regulations, the rules don't necessarily restrict Canadian companies like ones that might use the Klondike, Alcan, and Haines highways as shipping routes. Across most of Canada, truckers are permitted to drive for up to 13 hours during the course of a day. In the U.S., that allowance is 11 hours in a 14-hour period, followed by 10 hours of rest. In Canada, truckers can only be on duty 70 hours in any given 7-day period. In the U.S., it's 60 hours. But Canadian Trucking Alliance President David Bradley says he doesn't believe that Canadian hours of service rules need to change. They would like to see electronic recorders installed in trucks, though, saying the paper-based system is inefficient, outdated, and easily abused. Some companies in Canada have already installed electronic systems, but an industry-wide move has faced some government pushback, Bradley told the CBC. He added that the system is further complicated by the existence of both federal and provincial regulations, which can be contradictory. Skagway Borough Assembly takes up an issue Thursday night that's worrying many of the town's bars and restaurants. An inconsistency was discovered by chance between borough code and enforcement while the borough was deciding whether or not to grant requested permits to the Wood Bar.
So in looking at that, they were like, oh, well, it looks like in the business general zone, you'll need a conditional use permit to run a bar or a tavern or a restaurant serving alcohol.
Emily Deitch is Skagway Borough Clerk, who explains that in 1990, a change in Skagway Municipal Code then on required a conditional use permit for taverns in the Business General District and Historic District. However, that requirement has gone unnoticed and unenforced since. The Planning and Zoning Commission didn't grant that permit to the Wood, and now the Assembly takes up an appeal of that decision at Thursday's Assembly meeting, but that's just the beginning. In the meantime, the Assembly got notification that 6 Skagway establishments are up for a liquor license renewal. 4 of those, it turns out, are out of compliance because they don't have conditional use permits required by code. But with the discovery that a conditional use permit is required by those places, and technically has been for about 2 decades, do they begin enforcing it now?
We don't know why in 1990 an ordinance was put forward to, in the business general zone, to change the bars and taverns and restaurants serving alcohol from a permitted use to a conditional use. So prior to that ordinance being passed, those were permitted uses.
The borough must now sort out if each business is grandfathered in to the requirements because they were serving alcohol before 1990, among other specific code requirements, and deciding whether or not to repeal the conditional use permit requirement altogether. Next to that, the Assembly is also tasked with deciding whether or not to renew liquor licenses for 6 Skagway bars or restaurants that serve alcohol, which the public will have a chance to weigh in on.
During the Here Citizens Present portion, that's when they're going to get a chance to come up and talk.
The Skagway Assembly meets Thursday, March 3rd at 5 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. A new study says the Tongass National Forest has about a third less second-growth timber than officials thought. The study also includes a reminder that the region is still decades away from any substantial young-growth harvests. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
There's been a lot of talk in recent years about the economic potential of second or young growth forests. Those stands of trees are coming back after logging, mostly from clear cuts. The Southeast Conference, an organization of regional leaders, recently commissioned an inventory of Tongass young growth and when it will be ready to harvest. Forest appraiser Ray Granville presented a draft to the Tongass Futures Roundtable during its meeting this month in Juneau. He says there's less there than the Forest Service thinks.
Their volume estimates for each of those polygons or stands of timber are overestimated. In this draft report, I estimated 37.5%, but it goes up as high as 50% being overestimated on the stands that have enough volume to be significant.
The Forest Service has done its own studies, which officials continue to refine. Regional forester Beth Pendleton says the Southeast Conference's research used different techniques. One reason its results are not the same as her agency's.
Mr. Granville's study looks at fewer particular plots on the Tongass and does some very fine-scale analysis relative to those specific stands.
Both sets of research confirm what most in the industry know, that young-growth harvests won't be economically viable for a long time. There are a few older second-growth stands, but Granville says his study shows most won't have commercial potential for decades.
The first major grouping of timber that has a significant volume of acreage, approximately 79,000 acres, won't be available for like 40 years. Well, in the interim, the small amount, less than 2,000 acres of timber that is old can't sustain any type of processing for 40 years. So you need something to fill that gap.
That's old growth, the larger trees that have not been logged. They're the center of years of controversy, including multiple lawsuits, some of them successful. Federal policy changes and opposition by environmental groups has reduced Forest Service old-growth timber sales to the point where they can barely sustain the industry. Wrangell and Ketchikan mills closed in recent years. Owen Graham of the Alaska Forest Association says the remaining operation of any size in Klawock could be next.
It's real tenuous. There's just barely enough timber coming up in the future to keep the Viking mill and a few of the real small mills operating. If anything goes wrong with the pending timber sales, then Viking's going to run out of timber and have to close for some period of time.
As long as we try to throw old growth at the problem, we're not going to solve the problem.
Buck Lindekugel works for the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council. He says the remaining old-growth forests are needed for habitat, subsistence, and the fisheries and tourism industries. He advocates improving young forests while looking for new uses for immature timber.
We can't wait until we get there to start making the transition, to start innovating the way we do things here on the forest.
Tongass managers are doing some of that while continuing to sell older stands. Forest supervisor Forrest Cole says the agency is thinning trees to hasten second growth harvests, but there are limits.
It's going to have to be in like beach fringe areas, some of the older areas. We can legitimately commercial thin those stands, make whatever product that comes out of them available to industry or export. But to go into some of our timber stands, it's not practical at this time.
The Forest Service acknowledges limitations for young timber harvests. Regional forester Beth Pendleton says that's why the agency is taking a variety of steps to diversify the economy of the Tongass.
The interest of the Forest Service is to put together an integrated program of work for the next 5 years that begins that transition into more active management and second growth while still retaining some more traditional timber sales, and then also accelerates work around restoration, whether it's stream improvement, trail improvement, cabin replacement, culvert replacement, those kinds of things.
Critics in the industry say that approach provides far too few jobs at a time when the region's residents need better paying year-round work. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Skagway Panthers and Haines Glacier Bears are about to be deep into regionals basketball competition with the first of many games already underway. Haines girls kicked off regionals early on Wednesday morning with a win against Metlakatla Miss Chiefs in Juneau, 50-33. They'll go on to play 3A Craig Panthers Thursday evening just before 7 p.m. Skagway boys lost to 2A Yakutat Eagles on Wednesday afternoon, 49-67, moving them into a Thursday game against Cake, who lost to Kluwak on Wednesday. Stay tuned to KHNS for live and recorded broadcasts of regional games from Ketchikan and Juneau throughout the week. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News. Sending news tips and comments is easy. Just email me at news@khns.org.